Hi, I'm Dennis Prager, and welcome to my home. This is actually my home. That's my fireplace, my chair, my cigar. And we do this almost every week. If I am even one day that week at home in LA, then we do this. This is very important to me. And I'll tell you why. It gives me a chance to just talk completely spontaneously, off the record. Well, that's not off the record. That's a little silly. It's pretty much on the record, but it's not scripted. That's what I really wanted to say. So welcome to my home. I hope you get a chance to meet any of the dogs that might walk by, but whatever it is, it'll be. So a couple of opening comments. I know that I talked about this last week, but it's on a lot of people's minds again because of all the marches and so on, the guns issue. And I could spend hours on the guns issue, but I just want to say a few things that are related to it and about guns. It's a very complex issue, and it's not being treated as a complex issue. It's being treated as a completely simple issue. There are too few gun laws, and if we just passed more gun laws and banned more guns, we wouldn't have school shootings or the like. But that's not true. It's, you know what I ask people, and I want fewer shootings just as much as anyone else, needless to say. I have children. I think about the suffering of parents whose children are killed in these schools constantly. It just eats me up. And any parent with a heart knows that that's the ultimate nightmare that you don't even want to think about. Send your kid to school one day and they never come back. I mean, it's beyond belief. So things that arouse passions, and this totally understandably arouses passions, the passions often overwhelm the intellect. So let me give one general statement, a few general statements and specifics. I'll free think this thing through with you. First of all, as a general rule, you have to think with your mind. And while it's wonderful to have passion, that's what makes us human. We have passions about these matters. Nevertheless, we can't be guided by them. In fact, I'll tell you something. Life can be summarized in this way. It is every day, every hour, is a battle between the mind and the brain. The brain is the seat of passions. The mind is the rational thought process that we have. There's a battle. A very simple example is brain wants sugar and mind knows it's not good for you. So that's a perfect example. It happens all the time. Brain wants money. Mind says you can't rob a bank. Okay? The brain is primitive. It's important, but it is primitive. And to be guided by passions, and when large numbers of people are guided by passion and not reason, I get scared, because that's what's called a mob. The mob is self-righteous. The mob is completely convinced that its passion is all that matters, and anyone who differs with us is evil. And that's what you're seeing here with all of these gun rallies. You differ with us, you have blood on your hands. You know, these are charges, for example, against Senator Marco Rubio, because he's a senator from the state where the Parkland High School, of course, is located. And he's actually quite moderate on these matters. It doesn't matter. And they keep saying how much blood is on his hands, as if he, any more than anyone else, welcomes or is not bothered by these horrible attacks. These are terrible things to say, terrible things. It is completely unfair, and it's self-righteous. It doesn't make you look good. It makes you look bad. If you differ with me, you're a scumbag. That's basically what all of these rallies have said. You don't care about kids being shot. This, by the way, is rhetoric which the left in particular, not liberals, but the left, has specialized in. If you don't agree with us, you're not wrong, you're just evil. If you think we should have a wall, then you are a hater of foreigners. Okay? That's not a lover of the belief in borders, which every country on earth has or doesn't stay a country. Borders are what make countries. So it's, you name the topic, and that's what I said. If you if you don't think that the world is going to come to an end because of global warming, you don't care about extinction of humanity. I mean, isn't that silly? Or you know, all Republicans don't care about toxic water. Really? Republicans enjoy drinking toxic water? I mean, think of how stupid that is. They want their children to have polluted air. Republicans love their children less. I mean, this is what when you don't have arguments, what you do is you portray those who differ with you as diabolic, as of the devil. So that's bothered me a lot in these marches. And I'll tell you another thing that's bothered me about the marches, and that is that the rhetoric used aside, for example, one of the leaders of this, I believe his name is David Hogg, H-O-G-G, and he said, we want revolution. Really? You want a revolution? This is one of the finest countries in the history of the world. You really want a revolution? Revolutions don't usually lead to good things. Look at the French Revolution and the Russian Revolution. I'm sorry. And you know, you say, well, look up the American Revolution. Well, the American Revolution is really a revolt. And it was against a foreign power. But the Russian Revolution was internal, and so was the French Revolution. We want revolution. You really want a revolution? You young Americans want a revolution? Well, Barack Obama said that before he was elected in 2008. He said, we are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America. You really want to fundamentally transform the United States of America? Well, you do if you have contempt for it. I don't have contempt for America. I know after 130 countries and a lot of years lived, how lucky I am to be an American. Unbelievably lucky. You know why America has flaws? Here it comes. This is the reason between you and me. Because it's composed of people. And people have flaws. Every one of us. So, and America has flaws. Excuse me. That America has flaws is a given. The question is, you don't compare America to utopia. You compare America to other countries. That's why half the world would like to live here. Because it is the land of opportunity and it is the land of liberty. So when I hear a guy like Hogg get up and say, we want revolution, shows how ignorant he is, utterly and totally, of the world. And here's another thing, and this may annoy some listening, but that I don't care, frankly. The question is not whether people are annoyed, but whether it has legitimacy. This will shock you. As a general rule, I really don't care what 16-year-olds think. And when I was 16, that's what I thought was the right attitude. I knew at 16 that I really hadn't thought life through. I hadn't lived enough. I hadn't read enough. I hadn't studied enough. I hadn't thought enough to really be taken all that seriously about my opinions about the way society should be. Because at 16, you have emotions, but very few 16-year-olds have wisdom. And the only wise 16-year-old is a 16-year-old who knows how little they know. It was around the age, I was 18, or around the time that they were thinking of changing the vote to 18-year-olds. And so I wasn't 18. I remember exactly, actually. I was, I think, 20. And anyway, whatever it was, I remember saying to my girlfriend at the time, in first year in college, and I said, why are they giving me the vote? I don't know anything. And I read a lot. And I did think a lot. I didn't watch TV, and I wasn't playing video games, which were non-existent at that time anyway, unless you went to an arcade. So I knew. Whoops. Whoa. Bad one. That was not an advertisement for cigar smoking. But I knew I didn't know anything. I didn't know enough to give a serious vote. I don't think 18-year-olds should have the vote. And by the way, I think I suggested this last time, but this is my suggestion. I would like to make a deal. I'm totally okay with you can't buy a gun till you're 21. I'm fine with that. So since we believe that a 19-year-old doesn't know how to responsibly use a gun, then why do we think a 19-year-old knows how to use the vote responsibly? So let's make a deal. 21 for voting and 21 for guns. But the Democrats won't go for this because they care about winning elections more than they care about raising the age of those who can get a gun. Because they know that the lower the voting age, the more Democrats there will be. They rely on passion rather than wisdom to win. That's one of my biggest problems with the left. It is passion-driven, not reason-driven. So there are a lot of things to be understood in these matters that are transcend just the gun issue. But I have, on the gun issue, I have one simple question. Not simplistic, simple. And that is, what laws would have prevented any of the school shootings that we've had? I never get an answer. I pose this on my national radio show not every day, but certainly very, very often, and I never get an answer. So ask people that. Our man Will of PragerU made a video going to one of these rallies, and you should watch this. He asked people at one of these anti-gun rallies questions. They didn't know anything about guns. They didn't even know what an automatic gun was. They couldn't identify one. They don't know the difference between automatic and a semi-automatic. They barely know the difference between a gun and a water gun. It's not enough to have passion. You have to think things through in life. So these are some of the thoughts that I have on this matter. Okay, time to take your questions. Okay, let's see here. Press home to open. Oh, here we go. John, 15 years old, Michigan. What do you recommend a teenager does to become successful in life? What habits should I start? Who did you look up to yourself when you were a teenager? Well, it's a lot of questions in one. What do you recommend a teenager does to become successful in life? We know the answer. It's not even a recommendation. We actually have data. This is not an opinion. This is a fact. If you work hard, you stay honest, you get married, and then you have children, you are overwhelmingly likely to be successful in life. Success comes from values more than any other one thing in life. What habits should you start? Oh, God, that's a good one. By the way, life consists of habits, bad habits and good habits. And they all get easier after they start. The first time you do something wrong is difficult. The 10th time is effortless. First time you do something good, it's same thing. It's very, very hard to start either bad or good. But once you start and you do it habitually, it gets much easier. So do as many good habits as you can. Ask yourself, before you do anything, am I doing it because it's fun, or will I be happier after I've done it? It's an unbelievably powerful question. That would be my question to especially a lot of young women in the hookup culture. Before you hook up, and I'm not telling you what to do, it's your business, but just knowing the price paid by a lot of women in terms of their happiness and psychological well-being, ask yourself, will I be happier tomorrow morning? Not, is it fun now? And you could ask that about anything. You could ask that about dessert. It's fun. Will you be happy afterwards? Will you be happier after you eat Excuse me, after you watch a lot of TV, play a lot of video games. Sorry about that. Is that my computer back there? That is bizarre. You want to just turn the sound off on the keyboard? Thank you. It is my home, so we can't fully soundproof it. We can, but you don't think of all these things. I would love to know why it's even doing that, but I'll find out later. Can you yell at your own computer? I'm going to yell at my own computer. Does it not know that I'm doing this? A few hundred thousand people? And it makes these. Should, exactly. So I'll make a big list of things you should do. I'll tell you, work is great. Work is awesome. And my favorite job for people to have is waiter or waitress. And I'll tell you why. Because you learn to smile even if you're in a bad mood. It's one of the great, great lessons of life. Who did I look up to when I was a teenager? I looked up to a lot of people. And, you know, adults that I respected. And that's the job of an adult, to want to be looked up to, not loved. Same with parents. Your job as a parent is not to be loved by your children. It's to earn their respect. Will, 16, Philadelphia. What are your thoughts about the pressure most kids face that college is the only option for a happy and healthy career? It is so sick that I don't get me started. And I blame employers. The employers who say you need a college degree to apply, my question is why? Now, I understand if you have to know computer programming, so you may need a degree in computer programming. You can't be a doctor without a medical degree. I fully understand that. But in general, at PragerU, we don't give a hoot if you went to college or not. If you're capable, talented, bright, energetic, ambitious, in the best sense of the word ambitious, you want to make something of yourself, that's what matters. Character is infinitely more important than college degree. JT, 21, Fort Collins. Is arrogance always a bad thing? Yeah, well, arrogance is a negative. It's, yes. So I don't think that's what you're asking. I think you're asking, what is humility? That's actually an important question. Do you know, you probably don't know, but I'll put it in. Do you know, in the Bible, my favorite book, Moses, do I have to identify Moses? Tell me I don't have to. I might have to. Oh, God. Moses was the person who gave us the Ten Commandments. The belief is ultimately given by God to Moses, but Moses, in many American courtrooms, including the Supreme Court, has a sculpture of Moses with the Ten Commandments. That is the basis of moral law in the whole Western world. Moses is one of the greatest figures of history. And Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt into the Promised Land and so on. Anyway, Moses, it is said in the books that are attributed to him, the five books of Moses, the first five books of the Bible, it says Moses was the most humble man on earth. How could Moses, whether he wrote it or he knew about it or whatever, how could he think he's the most humble man on earth? Humility doesn't mean going around thinking poorly of yourself. A humble person knows that they are no better in the final analysis than the guy who cleans the toilets in their apartment building or in their office building. We are all created in God's image. We are all precious in God's eyes, whether you clean toilets or you're the president of the United States. That's good humility, to be aware of that. But if somebody says to me after I give a speech, that was a good speech, I say thank you. I don't say, nah, it was a crappy speech. That's phony humility. You can know what you're good at. In fact, you should know what you're good at. I want my surgeon to think he's good at surgery. I don't want him to think, nah, I'm not that good. Any surgeon who thinks he's not that good, I think I prefer a surgeon who did think that he was that good. He doesn't have to think he's the best surgeon on earth. That's probably not measurable. So a healthy self-awareness is good. Arrogance is, I'm better than the next guy. And finally, last question. Noah, 18, in Irvine, California. Prager Force, thank you. What's the best way to live a fulfilling life? First of all, the good news is there are many ways to lead a fulfilling life. There isn't just one. But for most people, there are guidelines. I think for most people, you lead a fulfilling life if you exercise self-control. Again, that brain versus mind issue. If you need meaning, you need a good purpose. My worry is that with the death of religion in the Western world, what has happened is people have sought meaning in other things, and they have not been good other things, generally speaking. Nazism was another religion. Communism was another religion. There are a lot of substitute religions with the death of Judeo-Christian values, and specifically Christianity in the West. People need meaning. Meaning, one of the 10 books that most influenced me is Man's Search for Meaning. You could go to my website, DennisPrager.com, and I think in the part that says About Dennis, it lists the books that have most affected me. Man's Search for Meaning is one of them. We need, after food, our greatest yearning is for meaning. I think getting married and trying to make a family and having a community that you're a member of, that you take care of one another, these are, for most people, tremendous sources of meaning. Doing good for others. Not good in the sense of getting all these bills passed in Congress. Doing good on a daily level. That's really, really ultimately what matters. So you need a sense of purpose. You need a sense of transcendent meaning. Goodness is a tremendous fulfilling thing in life. To be a good person. To aim to be a good person. And ultimately, I think that for most people, getting married and making a family is another major source. There are people who never get married, who have meaning. I fully understand that. But you can't look to exceptions to make rules. I always use the example of seatbelts save lives. But you could point out the fact there are people who wear seatbelts, and because they wore seatbelts, they die. It just happened recently. The helicopter crash was it the Grand Canyon? Where was the, was it a tourist helicopter, or was it in New York? I think it was New York. Right? Was it New York? Anyway, the helicopter, it wasn't the Grand Canyon. So the helicopter crashed, and the reason, apparently, the biggest reason some of them died was they were stuck in their seatbelts, and they couldn't get out of the helicopter. Does that prove, therefore, that seatbelts don't save lives? No, it proves that there are exceptions to every rule. So the fact that you can show me somebody who never gets married, never has a family, and they are fulfilled life, I believe that. But for the vast majority of people, getting married is a great idea. And by the way, I did an interesting show on my radio show, which you would enjoy, and you should look it up. I'm in most of your cities. You can just get an app and hear it. And I did a very interesting hour, so I don't only do the news. I said it is better to marry and divorce than never to have married. It's a very interesting discussion. So a woman called up and she said, I don't agree. I love the calls that don't agree. And she said, it is not better to have been divorced. Better to, she was quite adamant, very polite, but very adamant. It is better not to have divorced and not to have been married. So I said to her, how old are you? I think she said she was 50. So I said, are you single? She said, yes. I said, do you want to get married? She said, yes. I said, okay. So imagine there's a 50, 55-year-old man, and the only thing you know about the two of them, there are two men, not one, two, the only thing you know is one was married and divorced and one never married. Which would you date? And she thought and said, you're right. And that was the end of the call. She preferred to date the man who had been married. It wasn't usually, it's not usually a good sign. Women, single women can tell you this. If a guy's 55 and had never been married, it's not usually a good sign. Okay, I have one more thing. Can I have the book there? It's a very, very big weekend for me. And that is my, the work of my, the biggest work. I published 8 books. They're all like children. You love them all. But this is the first among equals. My book that's coming out on Monday, April 2nd. And it's the first volume of my commentary and explanation of the first 5 books of the Bible. It's called The Rational Bible, because I only use reason to explain the greatness of this book. This is meant to change your life. I hope you will get it. And I have never pushed a book like this because I've never, and the others are important. I've written on happiness. I've written on America, written things that matter. But this is the ultimate issue. And the Bible has a bad name. The left has done a really good job in crapping on religion. And we are suffering for it. This was the most important book in most of American history and most of Western history. It isn't now. So it's The Rational Bible, and you can pre-order it or order it on the internet or through PragerU or any way you want. So thanks for being with me. I'll be with you next week. And for those of you celebrating, a happy Passover and a happy Easter. I'm Dennis Prager.